Whether life's journey is full of triumphs and victories, riddled with struggles and disappointments, or maybe a little bit of both, it's been our experience that God's compassions never fail, and His faithfulness is new every morning.
Welcome to Hole in the Roof Chronicles with Paul and Jamie Hamilton. Join us as we transparently share stories of God's faithfulness in our lives to be an encouragement to yours. Welcome to Hole in the Roof Chronicles. My name is Paul.
And my name is Jamie.
Welcome to this nice Saturday. It's a nice dreary day here in St. Louis as we sit inside and watch the rainfall.
We're deserving. It's been a hot number of weeks. I think a nice cool Saturday, although it's not cool yet, but I think it's going to be. Tomorrow's supposed to be cooler.
So. Well, I know, as many of you know, we have chickens, and our chickens have not been enjoying the heat, so I'm sure they're going to enjoy the cool.
No, they haven't enjoyed it, so. Well, Paul, I have got a joke for you.
Oh, I'm worried.
Are you ready?
As ever.
What do you call a can opener that doesn't work?
Broken.
Nope. A can't opener.
Yes. Bad dad jokes from a mom. Yeah, no. So the title of today's episode is Impossible, Difficult, Done. And if you're wondering where we came up with this, ran across a quote from Hudson Taylor. He's a 19th century missionary to China. And he made this quote. It says, "I have found that there are three stages in every great work of God. First, it is impossible. Then it is difficult. Then it is done."
I read that in a devotion, and it resonated with my heart so much because I really did look over our many, many years of ministry, and I could absolutely see God working in that way, the impossible, the difficult, and the done. And not only in our lives, but there are plenty of people in the Bible who God operated that same way in their life. And I think Nehemiah was somebody who came to mind for me. Mm-hmm. The story of Nehemiah in the Old Testament certainly fits impossible, difficult, and done. Because he faced ridicule, threats, intimidation, and discouragement, not only from government officials, but there even began to be grumbling and discouragement from his own camp, from his own people. People got discouraged, and the people were getting tired and weary, and they were losing hope.
Yes.
So I could really relate in our own journey to Nehemiah and what was going on in his journey.
Very true. I mean, as we sat and discussed things, we were brought back to when we launched Hole in the Roof Ministry Center back in February 3rd of 2000, which was our first public service. That was an Easter Sunday.
Yes.
Basically, we were meeting in the Windsor Community Center, which was not that far from our house. I mean, it wasn't as close as we wanted it to be, but it was just down the road. And the entire time we were there, there were a lot of complaining from people in the neighborhood and people who lived around there that a church should not be meeting in a public community center.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of issues brought up with separation of church and state. And then finally, the person who ran it, even though she said, "You guys have been great, you've not caused any trouble."
She was super supportive of us being there. She was a real encouragement to us. But unfortunately, she was getting a lot of flack from the aldermen, the people in, there was a church across the street that was just giving her a lot of flack and even threatening her. And she finally looked at Paul and I and said, "Listen, as much as I support what you guys are doing and I believe in it and I know your heart is in the right place, I can't have you meet here anymore."
Yes, and also she told us that the alderman had looked at her and said that this might actually endanger the HUD funding that the community center was getting. So she was like, I can't have you here anymore. And honestly, there was a lot of decision making at that time because our attorney looked at us and said, they cannot do this to you. This is a, you know, constitutional right and a religious right to be able to meet in these places just like anyone else. But we made the decision to just move on.
I don't think we realized things were gonna be so difficult. No. Honestly, you know, we had a vision and a dream to just open a church. I wasn't even looking for something huge. We were just looking for a place where we could minister Jesus to the people in our neighborhood. And I don't think we realized what we were getting ready to face.
No, because basically Jamie and I made the decision not to fight them on it and actually began to look at properties that were closer to our home because yes. We really wanted to minister in our neighborhood. And so in May of 2000, we found this great new location. It was a little storefront on Gravois Avenue. It was right down the street from our house. I mean, we could walk there if we needed to. And the people who rented it to us were a wonderful couple. And yes. Their business was right around the corner, so we had access to them all the time. And so as we began renovating the storefront, I mean, we built a little stage in the front. We, you know, laid carpet. We were doing all this work to this building. We were informed that we were going to have to apply for an occupancy permit. Mm-hmm. And so as we did this, originally the alderman in the area said, yes, I support you all being here. And then I remember it was just a few weeks later, he sent a second letter that said he was withdrawing his support. And the reason was the city of St. Louis had passed a bill that zoned out storefront churches and other, quote, undesirable businesses from the city limits.
Yeah. So let's talk about what the other undesirable businesses were. So a storefront church was listed between massage parlors and X-rated bookstores. That was what was listed as the unwanted businesses, and including storefront churches.
Yes. And we were also getting opposition from the local business association and the local neighborhood association who had helped write this bill that had been passed. And they were opposed because they said, gave us two reasons. One, a church isn't a viable business. In other words, you're not bringing in any tax revenue. Mm-hmm. And secondly, we were a front for drugs.
As they thought, yes.
Yes. So that's what was said to us. So this is when we contacted back our lawyer and we're like, this is happening again. You know, this is the second time we're being told we can't meet somewhere. And we were just like, we're fighting this one.
We were so taken back. I was appalled. I was so offended. I was so appalled that we would be lumped in with that kind of group, because Paul and I were nothing like that at all. Our heart was for Jesus. It wasn't for any of those things. And to be lumped into those things was just disheartening.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember just being angry and just being like, we're going to fight this as long as we need to. And so the first step in this was making the appeal to the zoning commission. So Jamie and I, our attorney, family, people who were attending the church, we all went to this meeting at City Hall of the Zoning Commission. We stood up, presented our case before them. They said, we're going to take a break for lunch and come back with the decision. And so we waited around for an hour.
Yes, we did.
In the hallways, waiting for them to come back from lunch. And then finally, somebody stuck their head out of the door and said, listen, the Zoning Commission has denied your appeal. They've all gone home. Thank you very much.
And we were like, that can't be true. We were never invited to come back in. And I think what we learned is they kind of make their own rules and mm-hmm. they do their own thing. And it had nothing to do with what was right or fair or anything. We had no say-so on anything. They made all the rules.
Very much. And so we had our first victory April of 2001. Our attorney had filed a petition in state court. And the judge ruled in our favor, saying that the city of St. Louis could not zone out storefront churches because it was a violation of the Constitution.
And religious rights.
Yes. And so he was like, you have to give them their zoning permit. And as strange as it was, the city of St. Louis just ignored the whole thing. They still refused to give us our occupancy permit. And honestly, we were not sure what we were going to do because our attorney was like, well, we have a lawsuit. We won a lawsuit and they're not listening to it. So he looked at us and said, the next step of this is to go to the federal courts.
And I think what was so miraculous about all this is that the couple that was renting the space to us, they were angry and they were upset and they had a heart for us. And so for this period of time, you know, we were hardly able to pay them the amount of money that we had agreed upon.
Yes.
Because we were going through this fight. We couldn't find, had not brought in probably enough people in to be supportive of what we were doing. We were doing things that didn't involve that building. So for example, one of the things that we would do is we found a community and decided we were going to run a sidewalk Sunday school.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so on Sunday mornings, where we couldn't meet in that building, we would take a tent up to this apartment complex and we would set up our tent and we would bring all kinds of things with us. And we decided just to go forward and we ran a Sunday school program.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that for many months, like for the spring, the summer, and the early fall. We did that consistently. Every Sunday, we were determined that we were not going to let the government shut us down from the message we felt like God wanted us to share.
True. And one of the other things we did was we made the decision to wash windows.
Which was kind of like washing the feet of people.
Yes.
Like Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, we kind of felt like God was calling us to wash their windows.
Yes. So we would go out about once every other week and we'd go to the businesses, a lot of whom were not supportive of us.
Yes.
And we washed their windows for free.
Mm-hmm.
And we did this a number of times. And I remember them always looking at us going, why are you doing this? And I says, because Jesus tells us to love you. And we just wanted to bless you by washing your windows.
Yeah.
So our attorney went to the federal judge. And one of the things that is slightly different about federal lawsuits instead of state and local lawsuits is a federal judge gets to kind of hear stuff before, like in a pretrial. And
to see if it's worth him even hearing.
Yes. And our attorney called us. He says, I'm going to go to this meeting with the judge and the city attorney. Few hours later, he called back and he's like, guess what? It's over. And I'm like, what do you mean it's over? And he said, we went in to have the meeting. The judge looked at the city's attorney and said, listen, this is a total 100% waste of time. I'm telling you right now, I'm siding with the Hamiltons and Hole in the Roof Ministry Center. You guys cannot zone out churches. I don't know why you guys are fighting this. So we can go forward and do the trial if you want, but I'm already telling you what the ruling's going to be. So the city decided to settle with us. We reached a settlement agreement. We got reimbursed for money we had put into the building because, unfortunately, we had to leave that building.
Right. We just couldn't pay anymore. And we didn't feel right about continuing to be there because it took time to get this case to federal court. I mean, that's not something that you just do next week. You know, I mean, it took months and months and months and months to get it to federal court. And so we felt like we needed to be responsible people. We cared a lot for this couple, and we didn't want to feel like we were taking advantage of them. So we made the choice to leave the building.
Yes. And the thing about it is, yes, we were able to secure this legal victory. And in some ways, we didn't benefit from it because we weren't able to occupy that particular building. We couldn't really afford to continue to pay them. We weren't able to hold public services. And honestly, even though we added a few new members as we were going along, we were losing people who were growing weary of what was going on.
Yeah.
And
had people complain a little bit, and they were getting discouraged, kind of like the story of Nehemiah. They were getting discouraged and frustrated. And, you know, there were times people were just like, I'm not sure it's worth this fight. Maybe we just should go do this or go do that. And, you know, I think you have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Back when we were at the community center, we felt like the Holy Spirit was just lay this down and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when we rented the space up here and started renovating it, and all this came down, the Holy Spirit was very clear that we needed to stand up for the things of God.
Mm-hmm. So from 2001 to 2004, we held our church services in a business center off of Kings Highway. And then they had to move. The people we were renting from were moving. Mm-hmm. And so they looked at us and said, unfortunately, there's not room where we're moving to for you guys. So we began looking for another location for the church. And in 2004, we returned to Gravois Avenue and got a storefront from the exact same people that we had rented from before. This one was just two doors down from our original location.
Yeah.
So we were there until 2010. And we were able to come back to that and use that, because the second time we showed up there, there wasn't this whole thing of, well, you got to get this and you got to get that, and you got to get this. It was like, as long as you guys have enough parking and you guys have enough of the health and welfare, you know, stipulations, mm-hmm. like anyone else, they were like, you can be here. And we ministered there for a number of years.
We did. We ran a very successful food pantry. We ran a computer training program there, and we were just able to minister to people. And there just came a point in time where God wanted to move us on,
mm-hmm.
and that church plant closed.
Yes.
And I think there have been times that maybe we've looked back and thought, oh my gosh, you know, maybe we failed, maybe we didn't get out of this all that we had hoped we would get. And maybe in the natural, when a person would look at it, or when someone would look at it, maybe they would feel like that we did fail. I think now what I look at is, many times I think, you know, and Paul and I have talked about this,
mm-hmm.
you know, you and I have talked about how now we can drive down some of the city streets, and or, you know, any of the streets, and we see little church plants that
yes.
are coming up and
yep.
buildings, and we thought to ourselves, wow, you know, not to pat ourselves on the back, but it was because of the fact we were willing to follow the Holy Spirit in his leading to stand up for what was right, because we were part of the change.
It was. And I remember we visited a friend of ours who's a pastor in Joplin. And we were telling him this story of what happened,
mm-hmm.
and so on. Of course, this is after the church plant had closed, and we were talking to him about it. And he looked at us and he was like, wait a minute. He goes, that all was you? And I'm like, yeah, why? And he's like, we used that exact legal precedent that was mm-hmm. set for that. We used that to be able to open our second location.
Wow.
And he didn't know it was us, and we didn't know him. So we had helped churches all over the state of Missouri without even knowing it.
Yeah.
Just because we were willing to be obedient and to follow through what we felt the Spirit was leading us to do.
And I think that's the way God operates sometimes. I think sometimes in life, he calls us to do things, but it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to be the big benefactors from that. God uses people so it can benefit people that are to come, people that are getting ready to launch something. And we're all on the same team.
Yep.
I had a couple thoughts, and it's, should we as followers of Jesus expect opposition?
Unfortunately, we do.
And I think sometimes we think we shouldn't be opposed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're followers of Jesus. We shouldn't have any opposition going on. And unfortunately, there is some bad theology out there that teaches that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's absolutely 100% opposed to what God's word says.
Absolutely. I think a lot of times we do think that. We think, oh, we're basically coming against something and it's seeming impossible and it's seeming difficult. This can't be God, because if it was God, everything would be smooth.
Yeah.
And that is highly unbiblical.
So 1 Peter 4:12-13 says this, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world."
Mm-hmm.
So it's very clear, you know, and that's just one verse out of many.
Yes.
in the Bible that talks about opposition.
Mm-hmm.
That if we're going to follow Christ, you can guarantee you're going to be opposed.
Absolutely. And there's all you really have to do is pick up your Bible. I mean, if you pick up your Bible and you read about what happened to Christ himself, you know, even though it was part of God's plan, it wasn't a good thing that, you know, he got beat and hung on a cross and executed for crimes he didn't commit. We have all of the disciples except John who were martyred.
Yeah.
We have the Apostle Paul, who, if you read through 2 Corinthians, he's got an entire chapter listed to all the things that had happened to him. And if these were things where, oh, if you're following God, it's not going to be impossible, mm-hmm. and it's not going to be difficult, that's where you should be taking solace, is if you're coming up against opposition, you are doing the right thing.
Absolutely. I agree. So I think as we end our time together today, there were two other things that came to mind, and one of them was, why does God allow opposition, and what is God's end game in opposition?
Those are good questions.
And James 1:2-4 says the following, and I'm going to expound a little bit on it. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when," and it's not if, James isn't saying not if, he's saying when. So in other words, it's pretty much a guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
"When troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity," wow, "an opportunity for great joy." Now, I have to be honest with you, I wasn't experiencing a lot of joy during this season of fighting the city of St. Louis over a place to have our church building.
Mm-hmm.
There was very little joy there. I admit that. "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." It's a chance.
Yeah.
So if you think about what a chance is, well, it might grow, it might not grow. So what does that mean exactly? So let it grow. What that says to me is we have a decision to make. You know, we can either allow the circumstances in our life, we can allow that to grow us up in Jesus, or we can allow it to stomp us down, put us down, and make us give up. It's a choice that we make. We have to decide what we're going to do. So let it grow. "When your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing."
Wow. That's really deep. That's really something to mull around in your heart, because anytime you face these situations, and you may be facing one right now where you're like, this is impossible, this is difficult, you need to remember the third part of that, which is done. God doesn't waste anything. and there's nothing that's going to come before you that if you let God move in the situation and let him do what he needs to and follow his leading, it will get done. And that's a promise that he has to us. Well, that's all for this week. Jamie and I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. To learn more about us and our ministry, please visit us at www.holeintheroof.co. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. Lastly, if you are in need of prayer, we would be honored to pray for you. To reach out to us for any reason or to send us your prayer request, email us at holeintheroofministries@gmail.com. See you all next time as we invite you into our living room and discuss how awesome God is.